and talk about exactly what the U.S. can do now, Professor Chomsky.
What the U.S. can do is stop acting to prevent negotiations. For a long time, there's no time to review the record, but the position of the United States has been to try to undermine possibilities of negotiations.
Professor Chomsky, world-renowned political dissident and linguist, and Vijay Prashad, director of the Tricontinental Institute for Social Research. They've co-authored the new book, The Withdrawal, Iraq, Libya, Afghanistan, and the Fragility of U.S. Power. Noam Chomsky was speaking to us from Brazil. We'll play more of their interview later this week. That does it for our show. On Wednesday, I'll be speaking at Penn State Harrisburg at 7 p.m., and on Thursday, October 6th, at Brown University in Providence, Rhode Island, at 4 p.m. Democracy Now! Currently is accepting applications for two full-time jobs, an associate digital editor and a people and culture manager. Learn more and apply at democracynow.org. That does it for our show. I'm Amy Goodman. Stay safe.
Listening to KBOO Portland.
Dr. Zom's Stereo Obscura. Offbeat sounds for talented listeners. Broadcasts every other Wednesday at 10 p.m.
There was heaven, and there was earth.
Después de esa pieza, vamos a escuchar una comunicación simpática y cruel con Ana.
That's Dr. Zom's Stereo Obscura. Every other Wednesday from 10 to midnight, here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Good morning. You are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO FM, 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, and via the World Wide Web, it is KBOO.FM. Today is Monday, the 3rd of October. The year is 2022. I am Cecil Prescott.
I am Celeste Carey. Good morning.
Good morning, Celeste. How are you today?
Enjoying this cloudy weather.
Cloudy weather, yes, but It's here in Portland. I think we're supposed to have a little bit more of summer-type warm weather. So
That's the plan, anyway. That's the expectation. Okay. It's going to hit the 80s, so
wow.
That's good.
That's good.
I got no complaints.
Great. Weekend was here in Portland was you know, summer like, and things went fine, you know.
Well, I mean, swimmingly well, especially for those who either watched or participated or had family members participating in the Portland Marathon.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
I had
a couple of acquaintances that were in it, ran parts of it.
Okay.
And, yeah.
You said it went swimmingly well. I didn't know whether some people tried to swim the marathon, but
I thought about that when I said it, and I thought, wow, where'd that come from? But, you know, I just figured if nobody caught the mixed metaphor, I wasn't telling on myself.
Okay. Well, maybe next year that might be something that an organizer might want to examine. Well, a little hiccup with our audio right there. But continue to listen, because our super engineer will fix any problems we are having. We may have lost Celeste. Celeste, are you there?
No, I'm still here.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay, there we are. So, today we have some interesting topics we wanted to discuss. I don't even know how I'm going to make a segue for these. I guess it's people getting upset about stuff.
People
getting upset about stuff.
Okay. And we get upset about lots of stuff.
And lots of people want to get upset about things in ways and manners, and maybe even just the fact that they're getting upset is not necessary.
And this is a little bit different than what, if you heard this program, heard just before this program live, of Democracy Now. So it's not about Ukraine or Russia. And I can understand people getting upset about that. It's not about the election in Brazil and what that might mean, and I can understand people getting upset about that. Rather,
it's not even about voting.
No.
You know? It's not. It's not about the elections or anything like that. Rather, it's about our idea of how things should be if we think we're the ones calling the shots. You know, we dictate the way not only history should be perceived, but we dictate the way history should be reminded or even presented. And I remember some years ago when a young man called into a show and got upset because we had talked about some sacred cow of his, and he says, well, the victors get to write the history. And I said, yeah, and more often than not, they write a lot. You know, or they write the truth, whatever definition of truth you want to use at this moment. This is themselves. But rarely is the story told with all of the complexity that it actually entails. And if we don't want to hear that version of the truth that does not tell all of our stories, we're accused of being either revisionist or revilers. You know, take a pick. Heathens at best, because we don't have a fine appreciation for the way things happen. Well, you know, here's the deal. Cut to the chase. Two things we're going to explore today. One of them is a movie presentation of history that goes into a little bit more depth, even though there are fictionalized aspects to this story. It still goes a little bit more in depth to the whole narrative of world conquest, world protection, and all that than we have heard as a rule or been taught in school. And that comes in the form of the movie Woman King that you saw. Was it this weekend, Cecil?
I saw it on the opening weekend, so that was a couple of weeks
ago.
Uh-huh.
Oh, look at you. I'm impressed. It's just,
Well, I wanted to make sure that the movie got as many people in the theater seats on the first weekend, because that's what counts in Hollywood. So I did my...
That is true.
I did my duty by going and paying my money to watch it.
All right. You know, that actually brings up a question about another movie. We'll talk about that offline and maybe bring it back next week discuss it. Okay, so there's conversation point number one. Conversation point number two, again, history. And how it was perceived and captured and how it should be revered properly. People Some people lost their minds over some stuff. Some people, most notably Candace Owens and what is his name? Mark Walsh, I believe, lost their minds because Melissa Vivian Jefferson, professionally known as Lizzo, played an ex-president's flute at Plantation Site. James Madison's estate allowed Melissa Vivian Jefferson, interesting last name, to play Madison's crystal flute. And people lost their minds. They got upset over stuff. And they didn't lose it in a way that made any kind of sense unless you got a really colonized mind. And that is, she disrespected the ex-president. And we're going to discuss just what people's feelings are about that, where we are in life with regard to the nuances and shades of gray and aspects of human experience and history here on Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland, and we're More Talk Radio. So, flash your hands up and raise your hands. How many of you watched anything remotely close to Lizzo playing the flute?
So some people are raising
their hands. Quite a few people have. Yeah, okay. So, captured by the fact that she actually could play the flute. You were? Oh, okay, good.
Wasn't she, like a self-proclaimed band nerd?
I believe so.
Yeah, so see.
Yeah.
She was one of those nerds people made fun of because they, they were band members, and she played the flute in band.
Which is funny because I was a band nerd. I had a violin case, and then when I was in high school, I had a French horn and trumpet case.
Mm-hmm.
Well, cornet, almost the same thing. Not exactly. Band nerds don't hate on me now. Anyway, the point is, we're talking about somebody who took their talents, polished them, and had done something to bring people joy and to expand human endeavor in the world, okay? But all anybody can see are complaints that she doesn't respect the establishment, like she said. That's what it all boiled down to. I was blown away.
So this is the establishment, meaning like the Library of Congress, where she went and visited, and they offered took a tour of the Library of Congress, and the Library of Congress offered her the chance to look at and hold and play some of their collections, including this crystal flute. And so they allowed her to hold it and play it, and some people, like you said, this person whose name I don't remember was upset.
Uh-huh.
Because she played the flute once owned by what someone once said was a garden variety slaveholder who had like 100 slaves in their household who did not free them even on his deathbed. But I that's just some thoughts that I have, which, may or may not be relevant. But anyway, continue, Celeste.
Well, anyway, we have people, like I said, like Candace Owens, who was deeply offended by this. And once again, we're having all of this discourse in the media about how those heathen people of color don't seem to know how to respect our sacred cows, and keep complaining about the quality of the hamburger. you know, and the fact that she was allowed to play this flute. And it's not even the fact, it's not even the fact that she's a Black woman or a rapper. I think it's just the fact that she is a human being whose politics don't line up with theirs. And so, you know, she was wrong out the gate. The moment she was deceived, she was bad. Well, actually, you know what? I think Trevor Noah says that, doesn't it? You know, he was born illegal. But anyway, that's another point, and I digress. It's the fact that there is no understanding how we can be so offended by just a person trying to use skills and talents to better themselves, to better, like I said, the world, to try to put some positivity out there and make a difference, and these folks are losing their mind.
Well,
go ahead.
I would say that it's more than disagreements. I think it is part of the continued attack upon Black women. And if you look at the number of responses and put it in the context, and so, you know, Lizzo is not an isolated case in terms of being attacked by conservative voices. It can go even into the other cultural phenomenons, and, you know, we'll talk about it, you know, with our second point, talking about the movie Woman King, but also in the political sphere and sphere, as we in this political season, and you see the continued attack upon Black women and Black women candidates, and such as the candidate for governor in Georgia, as well as the Supreme Court justice who just was took a seat, as part of this continued attack upon Black women.
Well, what does that say about the culture when we're, you know, not just white culture, but Western culture and American culture, that we're so willing to cut off the advances and possibilities of humanity, of humankind, by, you know, basically trying to shut down an aspect of who we are, an aspect of self, you know, not, okay, and I'll explain that. Each generation, we will find that there are people born with skills and talents that are necessary. People used to be born who were great at taking care of horses, and some people were born who were great at making barrels or figuring out new ways to fish. You know, people born who figured out how to have a telephone so you could talk to somebody who's not even there with you, you know, or making cars go faster. And I hate to say this, maybe nobody noticed it, but that skills, those talents, they're born throughout humankind. They don't just reside with a gender or an ethnic group or a nationality. They're like all over the place, because you have heart surgeons coming out of people descended of African slaves. You find scientists who understood radiation coming out of women. You found new inventions coming out of children. So you can look anywhere in the world and find that talent, that resource. Yet we're okay with cutting off the contributions and ignoring the contributions of people. And one wonders sometimes how we as a species have managed to live so long when we keep getting rid of our main and our best resources, which are each other. I don't know. I didn't mean to go off quite that well, but all of a sudden I got upset. Can't imagine why. Anyway, let's give the phone number out as we continue to talk about the topic. The phone number is 503-231-8187. Here for more talk radio for Cecil and myself. And today we're going to talk, you know, specifically, you know, your reactions to the frustrations and discuss expressed by those people who felt like Lizzo was just totally out of place and had lost it, as well as the fact that we need to be mindful of how we present history, because after all, isn't that what Lizzo said? She made history twerking and playing the flute. But also the way history is presented and the kerfuffle that has encompassed Viola King's performance. And I'm from Viola. I had a smush moment. Viola Davis's performance and the Woman King, and the fact that some people even wanted to go so far as boycott the movie because they said that, you know, Dahomey, which is the country that was featured in this movie, had its own role in the slave trade, and so therefore should not be celebrated.
Before we go to our first caller, I wanted to expand a little bit more in terms of the you put it differently than I would in talking about the movie The Woman King. I again, uh-huh. I think this is, again, a systemic attack upon the women agency. Here we have a major Hollywood production that took years in making by people such as Viola Davis, directed by Gina Prince-Bythewood, and written by screenplay by Dana Stevens, a woman production Hollywood film that took years to create, where women, black women, agencies is uplifted. And this is part of what I consider the continued attack upon the independence, about the strength, about the viability of women to raise their voices and to direct their own lives. And again, we may expand it to talk about the political realm. We can expand it to talk about the attack upon women by the Supreme Court. But let's go to our caller, Harry, who has some thoughts to share. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. This weekend, I heard about Lizzo was from the SmithsonianInstitute.org, and they had a great article about it. I didn't realize Lizzo was a classically trained flutist. And, you know, and it was a really good article. I didn't hear anything negative about this because it was at the Library of Congress, so there must have been a big celebration there about her doing it. And she's an entertainer, so I didn't think of anything bad about this until I started hearing about some of these conservatives, I assume, that were saying about her. And it was like, why would you say this about an entertainer, you know, who is a classical flutist, who would better to do this? And I was kind of dismayed at this, but like I says, if everyone go to Smithsonian.org and see the article that they have about it, I thought it was just great.
Well,
sometimes these conservatives and Republicans say these things, but why? Because they're not held accountable for what they say.
I wonder, you know, because of these people who are concerned about the Library of Congress lending the artist to this instrument, and, you know, allowing her. I wondered their reaction to the fact that the National Archives have said that they still have some documents missing from former President Trump. But I suppose they aren't as upset as that.
Yeah, and the only way I could see you can counteract these conservatives say that is saying, hey, would Jesus say something like that? What would Jesus say? What you're saying? What you're saying, is that a sin? I mean, that's the only way to come back at them for saying these things, because it just flows out of their mouth and there's no repercussions which, hey, who knows, in the afterlife, there might be. That's all I have to say, and thank you very much.
Hey, thank you so much, Harry. And you're listening to More Talk Radio here on KBOO. We are speaking on people being, I like how you use that term, Celeste. Kerfuffle, I think, was that?
Folks being upset at stuff.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, the problem, well, no, let me just say it first. We don't even have enough time to scratch the subject, because I like the fact that you're looking at female, and especially black female agency. But, you know, like I said earlier, it bothers me that it's so easy for people to get offended because we don't cherish the same historical moments or historical events or historical events that they do. And so by some stroke of being, we defile their whole idea. And I'm blown away. I'm blown away by the fact that people want to see absolute sometimes, where we need to recognize that we have limited vision as human beings, and therefore we see gray. You know, a conversation you and I had was there are people in this life who have done things that were just vile, and yet we still want to revere aspects of their life and hold that up as a paragon of a human being and human achievement. And case in point, you know, when we talked about garden variety slave owners, you know, and George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, just to name a few, were people who did own slaves and weren't part of the problem, and yet we still celebrate them as if they were 100% as pure as that fictitious mythical driven snow.
Yeah, and again, the differing opinions on history, and as you suggested, how we revere historical figures. One added point about the Library of Congress, and the artist, Carla Hayden, who is the Librarian of Congress. Is also the first woman and the first African American to hold that post. Now, she noticed that the musician Lizzo was going to be in Washington for a concert and asked her if she might want to come see the world's largest flute collection and even play a few of them. So again, you know, this attack upon women, particularly black women, has a certain depth about it. So Carla Hayden, the woman head of the Library of Congress, the African-American woman head of the Library of Congress, offered this black woman flutist a tour of the flute collection, and voices rise up in anger, not as you suggest over the fact that James Madison was a garden variety slaveholder with, you know, over 100 slaves who he did not release even upon his death. But they are upset, continue to be upset about why. I don't know. Our number is 503-231-8187. If you have thoughts about this or about the movie Woman King and some of the discussions, which I think are probably a bit more substantial than about Lizzo, but, you know, everything's, you know, maybe comparing apples to oranges. But in terms of how the movie portrays this historical fact about the Kingdom of Dahomey, its participation in the slave trade, whether it ignored it or for entertainment value, or is that the purpose of you know, movies by Hollywood. I hope we don't get our history lessons by what we see on movie screens, but I
think amen. Amen.
But give us a call and share your thoughts about what you think about these two topics and their how they relate to how we live in our world. Our numbers are 503-231-8187, and we look forward to the next phone call, 503-231-8187. So, Celeste, continue.
Yes. Well, one of the things that I wanted to discuss again with the Women King is the fact that there are people who feel that the movie should have been boycotted because it did not accurately and adequately discuss and explore the Kingdom of Dahomey's involvement with slavery and the slave trade. And I find that kind of disingenuous in a sense, for especially coming from some of the folks, some of the quarter, because we are really quick to point out that when it comes to African kingdoms and participants in chattel slavery, how bad and evil and nefarious they are, you don't hear the same kind of... you don't hear the same kind of profiling at predominantly white countries and white involvement in this institution called chattel slavery. And I'm curious, you know, and again, this is why I said we don't have enough time to even touch on everything for this these two topics. I'm curious as to why people feel okay about just saying, well, that black country, we shouldn't be talking about them because they were part of the slave trade. It's deeper than that. You know, it's deeper than that. People, they're okay with the banking system in this country to a degree. You know, banking system. We need the banks. They were too big to fail a few years ago, you know, and we bailed them out, and we're not paying attention to the fact that not just the U.S. banking system, but the world banking system was complicit in chattel slavery and enslavement of African people and African descended people. We're okay with that. We don't talk about that. You know, there's hardly any more talk about reparations given to the descendants of black slaves. But, you know, because this particular movie took place and was centered in Dahomey, we should invalidate the entire effort because this country has, you know, ties to slavery and blood on its hands. And I just find that disingenuous, dishonest, all kinds of dissing, because it doesn't reflect the fact that we're not perfect.
We have a couple of callers online. I think they have some thoughts. So let's go to first Arthur. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning to both of you. I had a thought about women's rights in general. The Supreme Court just showed that they were anti-female. There's no doubt. No doubt. There's absolutely no doubt. They were just those are women-hating Supreme Court members. That's all. That's okay. My thought was this: like a few years ago, they had a million women march. I don't know, they organized some kind of a large march. The Supreme Court does not actually hold the power. It's the people that hold the power. The women, I think, should form another million march and head right to the Supreme Court. You know, that would make a statement, because getting normal human beings to sit on the Supreme Court using the electoral process doesn't seem to work. And I'll take my comment off the air on that one.
Okay. Well, thank you so much in terms of reminding us of the Women's March a few years ago. And today is the first Monday in October and the beginning of the Supreme Court year. Let's see what Sue has to say and her thoughts. Good morning, Sue.
Good morning. I just wanted to say about Lizzo, I think that part of what offends people so much about her, not only playing the flute, but just her being is that she's large. And people still have a hard time dealing with people that take up space, especially Black women that take up space. But it's still one of those okay prejudices to have, is the, you know, people that are overweight. And here she is on stage, not dressed. She's dressed in very skimpy clothing and not, you know, she's very comfortable in her skin. And I think that is part of what puts people off, especially the conservative people, that they can't deal with that. So that's my take.
I think that's insightful. Celeste, any thoughts? Oops. You're muted, Celeste. Oops. We just lost Celeste for a moment. But I think that's a very good take, Sue, not only in terms of attacking on Black women, but also in terms of physical features. And I think that's insightful. Let's go to James. Good morning, James.
Good morning, guys. Thank you for taking my call. I am a classical liberal. In other words, I advocate for the restoration of the constitutional republic as defined by the framers of the Constitution. I view myself as a true liberal. The ruling class has used tactics through the media, Hollywood, the fascist totalitarian state that we're under, to divide us. And it's difficult to have a conversation because every time I share something or you share something, people shut down and are unable to hear it. And that's by design. Are you following me?
I am, but I have a couple of questions, James, because you, if you could define terms, you describe yourself as a classical liberal, so describe what you mean by that. And then you also mentioned fascist totalitarian state. Define that as well. So when you say you're a classical liberal, what do you mean by that?
I believe that control of the means of production should be in the hands of the people through the people's authority to tax and regulate industry at the community level. That is a decentralized system which makes it impossible for oligarchs to establish monopolies because there are too many communities for the oligarchs to dominate.
And fascist totalitarian state, what is that?
That's where control of the means of production is in the hands of the state.
And the state is?
A central or national government.
So that might mean a city government, a state government, or federal government?
It has to be a central government. See, under a republic, a central government is only delegated the authority to protect the sovereignty of the state. In the United States, each state is an independent sovereign nation. The Constitution is a compact, meaning that it is a contract between independent sovereign nations. The federal government was a creation of that compact.
Okay, if I come back.
Okay, James, I appreciate all of this, but it's not touching in a sense.
You were asking me this, so I'm answering your question. I would like to talk about race. And I would like to talk about slavery.
We're not we're not just talking about race, and we need, you know, we need to get to it quickly because we want to keep the lines available for other folks. So,
I understand, but we need to have a conversation. We are living in bubbles. The right, I see it on the right, and I see it on the left.
And possibly now.
There's no reason for us to be divided. It's perception.
No, that's understood. We're not questioning that. You're absolutely right about that. That's not what we're questioning, though. You know, but so briefly, in you know, 45. What is it you wanted to say?
Well, it's big what I want to say, but I can't ever get to say it here. I've been calling in for over 20 years now, and I never get to say what I want to. But
okay, but James, it's not about what you want to. It's about what the topics are on the show. And
I understand. I understand
show,
that.
Maybe
I'm sorry. Okay, I didn't. I only heard about James Madison. That's when I tuned in when you talked about James Madison.
Okay,
and
then I would beseech you to listen to the whole part before you call in then, because if you hear something and it resonates with you, I'm thankful and I'm appreciative and I want to discuss it with you. But you got to think that you got to make it in bite-sized parts so that you can share it quickly and we can have a discussion, because it's not that you're not worthy of a longer discussion. That's just not the setup and format of a talk show.
I understand that. I'm doing my very best.
I believe you. Yeah.
Let me finish with this one thing, if you please. Hello?
Yes, continue. We'll give you 45 more seconds.
The Constitution ended slavery. It was the political class that kept slavery going because they wanted to use it as an issue that they could equate with America's constitutional principles, and then they would beat the people about the head with the fact that slavery was equated with America's constitutional principles when it wasn't at all.
Okay, thank you so
all
much.
All right, thank you for that.
And the U.S. Constitution written by slave owners, but
mm-hmm.
just my observation.
Yeah, and it didn't necessarily end slavery, because what it did is just redefined the term.
Well, it's also
glossary.
I think it's also James where he talks about, you know, this reverence to the U.S. Constitution, which I think is we often hear by many people who bow down before the U.S. Constitution as if it's some sort of sacred script, as it was brought down from the mountains on high, and we see that constant genuflection before the U.S. Constitution, and the refusal to question not only its authority but what it says and the ability to change it. So we see this quandary in the U.S. Supreme Court, where you have a overwhelming majority who want to say that what is written in the U.S. Constitution is sacred, that cannot be questioned, and that unless it's clearly stated in the Constitution, it does not mean that you have any protection or any right. And so I find that not only questionable, but also politically dangerous for those who have not had the power, were not invited to sit in the room to write the U.S. Constitution, and who do not have the power to challenge those in authorities. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. We began our conversation by looking at two cultural events, the movie Woman King and the musical artist Lizzo. And again, Celeste, how would you share the topic for our audience? 45 seconds. Let's model it for...
Basically, I would say it's interesting how history is perceived, and like you said, you know, who's been invited to the table to participate. It's interesting how history is perceived, how trying to have a broader view is demonized, and how we are so quick to cut off the relevance of positive contribution by people, especially by Black women, if we don't like the message that they are sharing about not just their experiences, but their perception of other people's experiences being enacted, implemented, executed upon us, you know? And what do I mean by that? It's not just how we see the world, but how we see the way you treat us in the world that we live together, in which we live together.
Our numbers here are 503-231-8187, and we...
Did I go too deep?
No, you are appropriate, and you kept it within the time frame, which we... You modeled it well. And so, you know, for James and others who, you know, sometimes say we do not give them enough time, try to make your comments, you know, relatively short, and we confess that we don't always model that ourselves. But so that others may also participate. So let's go to our next caller. Dempsey has some thoughts.
Thank you for being patient.
Yes. Good morning. Thank you all for the good work that y'all doing over there at Cable Radio. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
I had a couple of thoughts. So first, I'll just admit I'm not a Lizzo fan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't listen to her music. I don't watch the videos. But I did pay attention to like a clip of her playing the crystal flute because it's all this newsworthy and it was like viral. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And I don't have a problem with her playing the flute. I roll my eyes when she's twerking, when anybody's twerking, that's just me. But I thought it's interesting and I thought it's newsworthy and I thought she's using her platform, her fame, her art to get people interested about history. So that's good. I didn't think about the fact that James Madison was a slave owner. I just thought, okay, James Madison, famous American from history. Okay. And then his crystal flute, whatever. So I didn't get deep thoughts into that. And then about the movie, The Woman King, I have two young daughters. They were born in Ethiopia. They're my biological daughters. I have a stepson. He's Kenyan. And when they all said, let's go see the movie, well, he said, no, I don't want to see that movie because the homies were evil and they sold Africans and all this kind of stuff. And then he changed his mind. We all saw the movie. And then afterwards, he was like, oh, that was a good movie. He was entertained. And Hollywood is Hollywood. They're not going to tell the whole story. And I think it's unfair for people to just call an entire culture some kind of devils or whatever. The slave trade was the evil, and a lot of people were involved, including the Dahomey. But you can't expect one Hollywood movie to deep dive into that when the story was about a heroine. The story was about these the women warriors and them saving their people from a nearby tribe that wants to destroy them. And so the other good thing about that is I think movies like this will cause people to have these kind of conversations and to start looking into the histories. And we also have to keep in mind that pretty much everything that we learn about African anything has always come from European historians who had to toe the line and say that Africans were barbarians and eating each other and all these bad things so they could rationalize slavery, because they wanted all of us to believe that the Africans who came to America, they had a better life. They're slaves, but oh, it's so much better than the life they were living in Africa. And we have to, you know, I think a movie like this can get people started to looking into the real history. So those are some of my thoughts.
Thank you so much. And I appreciated you took your family and your son, who did not want to go afterwards, was able to reflect, and as you suggest, it creates an opportunity for deeper discussions and conversations.
I especially appreciate you giving us more in-depth look at your family and the complexity of recognizing, you know, human actions when you sit at an intersectional point. You know, when you're a person of color, especially a woman, especially a man, especially Black or Latin or Indigenous or whatever, and you see yourself portrayed as a human being rather than as a two-dimensional character, you're going to see your beauty and your warts at the same time. And I appreciate the fact that you're looking at it through a lens that allows you to look at yourself like that, but look at yourself wholly and with appreciation for the fact that as human beings, we're not going to always get it right. We're going to try to, but we don't. And that's why it's really important to recognize the value, both in this kind of fictionalized entertainment, you know, with this movie, but also the value that came out of Dahomey. Dahomey was not just simply a one-dimensional villainous country. And right. And for us as human beings to look at each other like that, like I said at the beginning of the show, we're gonna demonize Dahomey, but we don't say anything about countries like France or Switzerland or Belgium that were also involved and profited from the slave trade. You know, we don't say enough about them when they're making some kind of a movie about themselves. Nobody said anything about how bad chocolate is and it came from Switzerland, you know. And I know it sounds absurd that I'm saying this, but that's how we're acting. That's no different than getting upset because Lizzo twerked. Whether you like her music or not, she is a classically trained flautist, and she's giving something positive out of that musical experience.
Right. I agree.
But I appreciate your multifaceted aspect, because that's all I'm saying. We need to look at these things and pull the good out of the bad.
Thank you so much for calling. And
thank you.
As you continue to listen to More Talk Radio here on KBOO, we encourage you to stay tuned if you are listening live to the program. On today is Monday, the 3rd of October. If you're listening live, following our program is the Omo Variety Hour. Norm Diamond is the host. He'll have a segment on the Rural Organizing Project to commemorate 30 years of outstanding political work in rural Oregon. Dawn will talk with Cedra Pearson of the ROP staff, and they'll discuss ROP history and what they are endeavoring to create a more just, democratic place for all Oregonians. So stay tuned to more to KBOO. Stay tuned to listening to the program, the variety of programming you have here on your community radio station. You are, for the next few minutes, continue to listen to More Talk Radio. I'm Cecil Prescott. I'm here with my co-host, Celeste Carey. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. And we invite your calls, your reflection, as we wind down our program this morning. But we are always interested in your thoughts. So, Celeste, it sounds as if you might go see The Woman King.
Oh, I have every intention of catching it. Yes, I do. Not only do I like Viola Davis as an artist, but I want to be inspired. I want to see not just the fictitious presentation that she brings to life and infuses with some reality. I want to see the work of other women being presented. And even though, you know, like our last caller, I don't necessarily listen to Nicole's music, I still appreciate her talent, and some of the messages that come out are just perfect for today. So I can, you know, hear her play a song, and I can watch The Woman King, and I can pull the the beautiful out of that all and be inspired.
Excellent, excellent. And as you were talking in terms of being inspired, and as you and our callers were sharing, especially the last caller, in terms of viewing things and looking with a critical eye in terms of how Hollywood present things to us, you know that next week is a time again in which people can not only because some people I know will celebrate a birthday, but also because here in the North America we remember the European invasion in 1492 and how indigenous people have been portrayed or certainly not accurately. And we have another opportunity in terms of how we tell and share our history. So next week, as many municipalities and states have renamed the federal holiday, Indigenous Peoples Day, I encourage you to delve deeper into the history of the American, what is called the American continent, and appreciate the people who were here when Europeans first arrived. Hear their voices, hear their stories, and allow them to share what it is that we should know. So, enjoy if you have the day off, but also use that as an opportunity to delve deeper, as I mentioned, into the history of this land and its peoples. So, Celeste, go ahead.
I was just going to say for a moment, I was kind of impressed that we managed to pull off all this programming here on KBOO. I was having a moment of pride and accomplishment, even though it wasn't necessarily mine, you know, just the fact that we were able to present all this information and education and entertainment and broadening of horizons, yada, yada, yada. Anyway, I want to go back to this. You know, we know we're not going to ever solve any problems by discussing a topic on the talk show. And that's not even the point of having a talk show. Having a point on the talk show is to just stimulate conversation, stimulate curiosity, stimulate interest, and stimulate connection and community. And so I want to thank everybody who called. And to our one caller who said, you know, he's been calling in, you know, X amount of years to get a point. Your calls are always welcome, but remember sometimes to consider read the room. You know, it's more helpful to be able to get in and hit your point quick than it is to want to bend the whole conversation over to your perspective and then feel mistreated if, you know, we don't bend accordingly. Let's all find a moment where we can read the room. And you can also hit us up through our email account, moretalkradio@kboo. You know, go to our site, and you can always leave a comment there. Because I appreciate sometimes you only get a minute or two, and that might be hard to compress your thoughts. But you can always send an email.
Yes, that's an opportunity so we can read it, we can share it, and, you know, it's very difficult. I also acknowledge, too, when all of a sudden you're on the air, you have all these thoughts you need to share, and you want to share it, it's difficult. So sometimes write it down, read what you have to say, that might be helpful. It's also helpful for the audience and for all of us. Thank you so much for being a part of this program, for making it work, and continue to be curious and question and to seek ways in which we can be better people. We have the opportunity to listen and to build a better community that includes all of us. Let's learn to be better listeners and Now, sometimes it's better to listen to than to speak. And then there's that eerie silence.
I was listening. Anyway, we picked a topic, and I can see kind of pulled some nerve strings. And we hope you take it out. Go see the movie, you know, go appreciate it. And, you know, check out some of the better written articles about what the real issues are with Lizzo and the flute. That almost sounds like it should be a children's story, like James the Giant Peach, but at Lizzo and the flute. And broaden your horizons just a little bit. Thanks to our fabulous engineer, Ray. And we will catch you next week here on Your Community Connection, KBOO, Portland.
You're tuned in to listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
Prison Pipeline is a radio program dedicated to educating the public about the Oregon criminal justice system. Topics include incarceration and reentry, addictions and mental health, elections and laws, victims' rights, and criminal justice reform.